Well, good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, and verse 3 will serve as our text this morning. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Let's get the context of our scripture, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now the Apostle Paul knew all too well the nature of such thinking. For the Apostle Paul, before when he was called Saul, was quite diligent indeed to persecute the people who followed what was called the way in that day, the Christians. He had quite a zeal, thinking that he was doing God a favor by persecuting those who had accepted Jesus as their Messiah. But yet, he had his awakening, his conversion experience. And so he was speaking from experience to his fellow Jews. In context here. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The first century Jews were so zealous for the law that they missed the main point. The point that the law showed their need for a Savior. As it is written, the law is our schoolmaster, our tutor to bring us to Christ. Now, very interesting that the apostle uses that term in another place, writing to the Galatians. The tutor or the schoolmaster would be one who would come into the home, usually of a wealthy Roman citizen or a Jewish family, which was well connected to their community, and teach them the things necessary to survive in this life. Of course, the practical teaching and also spiritual teaching. Now, their Savior was Jesus the Messiah, who came, and they were tripping over him. They were tripping over the cornerstone, the rock of offense, the stumbling block, as it is written of him. Now, in the 21st century, there is very little zeal for obedience to the law amongst Americans in general. But the gospel is the same, and everything else is a poor substitute which will lead the soul astray. Every scripture has a particular meaning in its context. These words were written to those Jews who refused to accept Christ because of their spiritual pride. But surely, they were written for the benefit of those of all ages who refused to accept Christ because of their own form of spiritual pride. In the sermon proper this morning, we're going to take the text as it comes to us. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. First, we notice that it is a fact that there is ignorance of God's righteousness. Secondly, some seek to establish their own righteousness. And third, Christianity involves submitting to the righteousness of God. And I'm going to show you what we mean by these things. First, there is ignorance of God's righteousness. For some, there is ignorance of God's righteousness because they have not heard or understood the gospel. Now, this is a tragedy. We have professing Christians all over the place. We have churches that call themselves Bible-believing churches all over the place. But how many, and how many, can somebody walk in the door and mark it down that a clear presentation of the gospel will be heard? If a clear presentation of the gospel is not heard here in the house of God on any given Sunday, then we have failed, friends. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's not talking about just me, friends. That's you too. We're all called to participate in the Great Commission. We're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to be preachers. You live out the Christian life according to God's dictates. And in this, you do well. But if you don't also speak the word of truth, which leads to salvation, how then will somebody else truly understand the hope that is in you? Lest there be one in my hearing of whom this applies, let me now share the gospel of God in terms that you can understand. Listen carefully to God's word. We're going to let God speak on this matter, and not mere man. If you have any questions about these things, I encourage you. Take one of the bulletins this morning, and there's a section in there that says related scriptures. Go pick up the book and read it for yourself. Thus saith the scriptures, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you're sitting here this morning scratching your head. Whoever believes in him. Whoever believes what? You know, I've been to a lot of churches. I've talked to a lot of Christians, and they all tell me something different. What must I believe to be saved? Whoever believes what? Well, God is faithful to make sure that the content of the Christian faith is put down in words. Whoever believes what? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins, and it's according to the Scriptures. If you don't believe me, in other words, Go read Isaiah 53 and see that this glorious gospel was preached four times. 700 years ago, God spoke of a one who would take all of your iniquities, all of your sins upon his own body and take the penalty due upon himself. Christ died in your place, friend, to pay the penalty for your sin. All of your sins. How many of your sins? All of them. Past, present, and future. And God the Father accepts this on your behalf. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thus saith the Christ, because I live, you will live also. Do you believe this, friends? There was a day when the Lord said to Martha and Mary and all of those in his hearing, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? He not only puts that question to Martha, he not only puts that question to Mary, he not only puts that question to some of the unbelievers who were in his hearing that day, but he puts that question to you. If you've not understood the gospel, even as it has been preached this morning, ask someone. Do not dismiss it as a small matter or as one that is too hard to understand. This gospel of Jesus Christ is for you, and your very soul hangs in the balance. Do not say, I will wait to be converted on my deathbed. You may not have that luxury. And as I have said many times before, there are more procrastinators inhabiting the corridors of hell than all other sinners combined. Are you inclined to procrastinate? You know what? Put off washing the walls today and pick up the book and see whether these things be true and deal with your very soul. If you're going to put something off, put off the earthly things and deal with the things that ought to take priority in your life. Because there's going to be no more walls to wash and yards to mow and any of these other things in the life to come. There are a great many lost souls who are not here this morning. Have you been about the Great Commission this past week? Or have you been gadding about the world's agenda? Behold, a new week has dawned. You ever wonder why God gives us sleep? I've often wondered this, you know. I got 160, I'm kind of like this type A personality, right? I want to do, go, right? 168 hours a week he gives me. And I said, Lord, why do I have to waste 56 of it sleeping? Well, so I can be renewed. So I can wake up in the morning another day. So that I can be given a fresh start. So that I can rest. We all need that. We all need that. And you know what God's given you this week? Today is the first day of the week, Sunday. Friend, today is also, and it's cliche, right? If you've been to any graduations these past couple of weeks, today's the first day of the rest of your life, right? Well, consider today as the first day of the rest of your life in the spiritual sense. You've been fooling around with God long enough. You've been playing games with Jesus Christ long enough. Today's the day that you can stop the games and get serious. Get going. Now others are ignorant of God's righteousness because they have chosen to be in that condition. They've heard the gospel and they've refused to hear the gospel. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Maybe somebody's out there this morning doing charity work, and they're saying, I'm out doing something good, and all you hypocrites are in the church. Huh? Really? So you're telling me that you're a better Christian because you're out there doing and you're ignoring the first commandment?